All right, Luke 3, verse 7. He had just introduced him as the prophet or the voice crying in the wilderness. And in verse 7, then said he, then John the Baptist said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He said to the multitudes, the word multitude is a word that it's a collection of any people, except it's always the commoners, not the rulers or the leaders of the people. Baptized is baptizo. The word baptize in the Greek, or baptizo, comes from the word bapto, which means to be dipped. And it's they found ancient recipes for things, and you know, it talks about dipping a cucumber into the water, but then they soak it in vinegar, and that's the word baptizo, which means that there is a permanent change. It's the chemistry is altered, and that's what baptism really means, is that there is a permanent change. If you understand that the baptism is your burial, then by definition, if Christ isn't in you, then all you did was get wet.
Soaking in vinegar is a quite a metaphor.
Well, that's just one example I found in the Greek language of it. It's not vinegar, isn't the that's not the metaphor. The metaphor really, it's also used in when blacksmiths mixed they mixed charcoal with iron, and they beat the crap out of it, and then but in order for it to become steel, it has to be when it's dipped, then it alters the chemistry in the same way that the real meaning of baptism is. This is really critical, because the general public believes that, you know, we've talked about the great lies of our society. The brotherhood of man is one of the great lies. But the fatherhood of God is even a greater lie. And the idea that the Jews had at the time was, because they were Jews, they had to do something extraordinarily bad, unbelievably bad, in order to be not part of the kingdom. In other words, it was their birthright. Well, the general public that believes, if they're, you know, they might believe all kinds of philosophies, but in the back of their mind, they believe, just because if there is a God, then I'm his child. And so that's enough. Christians, modern-day Christians, they believe that if they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, whatever that means, then they're once saved, always saved. And none of that is true. Baptism is death, and resurrection is his life, not yours. Okay? Oh, and then he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Generation is genema, which just means that which has been born. It's either the offspring of men or the offspring of animals. And vipers is not just a snake. It's a poisonous snake. It's Ek idna. Yeah. But let's look at a couple of these in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 12. Now, do you understand that by definition, everything I've just said offends everybody? I mean, the thing that has driven, you know, there's these Baptists that come here. And the core of their belief system is once saved, always saved. And salvation isn't the end. Salvation is the merest beginnings. You're on a trek leaving the world, and you die when you cross the Red Sea and you are buried in baptism. And then this new creation wanders around in the wilderness until you're shed of all the grave clothes of the world and of religion, and then you can enter the promise. But it's a trek we're on. It's not anyway, I could go on a rant there, and I don't feel like going on a rant. Matthew 12, verse 33. Well, we have to go to 32. I'm not doing too good, so. Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known of his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In a minute we're going to see, when John's baptism, it says that now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. That was the end of the human race. Boom. The human race is the evil that cannot bring good fruit. The good man, the only good man is Jesus Christ in you. He is the only one that can bring forth good fruit. And any illusion that you as a human being have any good in you is so patently obvious that it's not true, Jeff, but it really, there is not... In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, does anybody really believe that there's something good about them? We've got people that have been here for many years that still believe that there's a good part of it. They've got something good in them. And that's the reason that the shutter falls down, because they're still trying to enhance themselves. Amen? Yeah. All right. One more. Matthew 23. Verse 27. Well, let's go. We'll go up. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These things ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. that one verse, strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, is the definition of satire. The gnat isn't unclean in terms of Levitically unclean, but the camel is. It's the largest unclean animal in the world. And so you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. It talks about the camel going through the eye of a needle. Well, and again, that's satire. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, where did we stop? You blind guides, in verse 24, you blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Now, everybody in their mind says, when he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, that he's talking to these guys back here. You understand? He's talking to you and I. You may clean the outside of the cup. You try to act like you're something. You try to act like you're... This is why people don't live in community. You understand? If I'm going to a church and the only thing I see is the back of somebody's head and my eyes are lifted up to a preacher up in a pulpit, and somebody says, as we've talked about many times, okay, turn around, everybody stand up and turn around and tell three people you love them. You don't even know them. That's hypocrisy. Does anybody doubt the evilness of their own heart? If you do, you have no integrity. You've conned yourself into believing there's something good in you. And because of that, you're always a victim. Amen? All right. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. You know what a sepulcher is?
A tomb.
A grave. Yes, tomb. You're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto or against yourselves, that you are the children of those which killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. That's why we've talked so often about it, but it's worthy of talking again. English is the worst language that has ever been invented to understand spiritual matters. Yet the audacity is to think that we have something of value. Again, if I read Genesis, and it says that Cain slew Abel, or it says, and God said, let there be light. It doesn't say that in Hebrew, in the original Hebrew. It said, God, there is no history. Because in the language, it's as though, and again, this is a language that was part of them from birth. In the language, when they read the Torah, it was, God is saying right now, let there be light. when Cain killed Abel, I'm the one, I'm Cain that slew Christ. When Nimrod chased all of the righteous, I'm Nimrod who's persecuting the righteous. I'm Herod who sentenced, who killed the babies. I am Pilate who washed my hands but then let Christ be crucified. I am the human race, I, me, am always the evil one in the entire story of the scriptures. And that's the way the scriptures are read if your language was the original Hebrew. There is no past and there's no future. It's only the language is a now language. Now we have the word faith, right? Or believe. That's a better one. We say, I believe the light's on. And we think that, then in the same word, we say, I believe in God. Or I believe the sun's going to rise. And then we say, I believe in God. Or whatever, anything else you say about belief. That's not what the word is. The word in Greek, Hebrew is even worse, but in Greek, it's pistos. And it's this thing that we've talked about. If I believe in God, then this is me. I let go. And if God isn't there, I die. Until you know that within yourself, there is no faith. Faith is simply a philosophy. Amen? Now, how do you know that? Well, you know it by waiting on Him. All right, where are we? In verse 32, fill up then the measure of your fathers. That means see that you are the chief of sinners. And it says, you serpents, you sons of, you generation of vipers, or sons of the snake, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In all of your religious experience, has anyone ever told you you were the snake? Well, I mean, you must be crazy to be here.
It was true.
What?
Well, you asked earlier if anyone here felt there was still any good in them, or I forget how you... I guess occasionally I still feel there's some good in me, but I've definitely learned that there's a hell of a lot more sin and wickedness.
But there's some good. And what? But that's just half the battle. Now, it isn't that you have wickedness in you. You are wickedness.
And I've learned community is fulfilling and beautiful, but it's real challenging too at times.
Yeah, because it reveals your idolatry. It reveals those little value system and lies that you've kept. You know, that's why people go to the church of their choice and expect to be moved by God. That can't happen because they go to church with people like them. And so they have common idolatry. That's just like you join any club. The purpose of community is this clash. Okay. Everybody understand that?
How we like that.
Yeah. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You know, hell never made any sense to me until I became a believer. I thought that was just a scare tactic that people use to try to control people. Until I found out that hell is just the dump. The only... Well, you know, we've talked about it, but again, the New Jerusalem. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. came down from heaven on the Feast of Pentecost. Now all of time is going through that temple from the west to the east. The only thing that can stay in that New Jerusalem, in that promised land, in that heaven, is that which originated in it. The only one that originated in it is Christ. And so and another way of saying it, the only thing that can stay in the temple is truth. Anything about you that changes with time, it cannot be truth. And all of the time and space is just the antagonism to prove or test that perfect will of God. Now, that it has to be fully tested. We don't like that. But every part of me is going out into the dump, except that which I contain. And the dump is Gehenna. And the Gehenna is the Valley of Hinnom, which is out the east gate of the temple in Jerusalem, or was, and it was the dump. And they threw lime on it and burned it to keep the dump from swelling up Jerusalem. And that's where we get the lake of burning fire. It's just the dump. And as long as you think there's anything good in you at all, then you will flow through that temple and go out to the dump. I didn't make this up. That's what the Bible teaches. All right. O generation of vipers. Back to Luke. Now let's now go to Acts 28. Remember, the word vipers is echidna, which means poisonous snakes. And this is where it's used as a poisonous snake. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they had kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened unto his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast from the fire, into the fire, and felt no harm. So again, that's just the reason that's important, is that when the scriptures call us the generation of vipers, it's talking about the sons of poisonous snakes, not just snakes. All right? I'm not doing good. I need to quit.
It reminds me of that fellow that was in the Auschwitz or one of the prison camps and concentration camps. He said, "If you could taste my heart,
if you'd lick his heart, you would die."
You'd die of the poison.
That's why the forgiveness from the heart of everything is the evidence of the mystery. If there's anything or anyone or any circumstance that you would that you can't see that it was from the hand of God. And unless that had happened, you couldn't have seen what you see today about him. Unless you can protect the right of that wrong to have happened to you, and you're not forgiving from the heart. And because you haven't forgiven from the heart, then the heart is still poisonous. Amen? All right. Take it, big guy.